Tonight, I want to go back to where I was trying to preach some this morning at Oak Grove in the Apostle Peter's first letter that he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4. And I do believe it helps us as we study the scriptures to know who was doing the writing and who they were writing to. And the Apostle Peter was the apostle to the Jews, to the circumcision, as Paul explained in his letter to the Galatians. And Peter's writing this letter to the Jews of the first century who were suffering greatly for their Christian profession. They'd given up Judaism. They'd given up the temple. They'd given up the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. They'd given up animal sacrifices. They'd given up all of that for the New Testament church. And for that, they were suffering. And the Apostle Peter knew that they were going to suffer. And so he's giving them some wonderful instruction here about how they are to face their suffering for Jesus' sake. And he says in chapter 4 in verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh." And Jesus did suffer. We all know he suffered on the cross. But before he got to the cross, he had suffered so much. Jesus grew up in a very poor home. And he was rejected by the Pharisees, many of the Jews of that day. He was betrayed by Judas Iscariot for 30 pieces of silver. The Apostle Peter denied him while Jesus was looking at him. Peter cursed and swore, "I don't even know you." Now we're talking about pain. That's suffering. And then, of course, when the Romans got a hold of him and beat him and scourged him, that was great suffering. And they nailed him to the cross. So Jesus was the suffering Savior. But the apostle here tells us about his attitude toward his suffering. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." So Peter was telling them, y'all are going to suffer. It's coming. There's going to be a fiery trial. He says to them in verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Now, thankfully, you and I are living in a country today where we have religious freedom. And I asked the question this morning, how many of us ever really thank God for it? We should. Because let me tell you, people can be mean. Last night, David Aaron was sharing with me some of the experiences he had in Iraq during the Iraqi war, and how they would throw stones and bricks at them when they were driving through the cities. And of course, he experienced some explosions that did a lot of damage to him, and he suffered a lot, and he described the suffering, the torture that went on in Iraq. Now, thankfully, you and I don't know anything about that. I sat there last night, and I had tears in my eyes as he talked about children being tortured. And that was going on in the first century among Christians. They were suffering. And Paul was one of the chief ones that administered that torture. You remember when he held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death? And you know why they stoned Stephen? for no greater reason than what I'm doing right now, and that's preaching Jesus. And you and I are blessed to live in a country where we don't have to worry about that. But I can tell you, there are forces in this country today that would take away our freedom if they could. I personally think the mayor of New York City, the biggest city in our country, would do it if he could. Now, this is going on World Wide Web, so I need to be a little careful, but I want to tell you, beloved friends, let's not take for granted what we're enjoying tonight. I right now cannot imagine our freedom of religion being taken from us, but it could happen. And it did happen to these people that the Apostle Peter was writing to. But whether we are suffering torture or persecution, and see, they were going to be facing official persecution. I mean, it was going to come from the Roman government on down. The Romans were going to, they were going to give license to this persecution. But regardless what we're going through in life, we need to have the same attitude, the same mindset that Jesus had when he was suffering. Amen? Because we're all going to suffer. When I was visiting Brother Gene Cannon this evening, Brother Gene said, Brother Sam, he said, getting old is not easy. And they, you know, he told me a while back, he said, I found out why we all retire, so we can make all these doctor's appointments. I said, well, Brother Gene, yeah, it's hard getting old. But I pointed over to a dish on a coffee table there where we were sitting, and I said, but life is hard for toddlers. If there was a little toddler in here and he reached for one of Sister Faye's favorite dishes, somebody would be screaming, don't touch that. You think life is easy for toddlers? Somebody be spanking his hand? He's got to learn a foreign language, which is English. He's got to learn to walk, like our little brother Everett here tonight. You know, life is hard. Whether you're a toddler or a teenager, life is hard. But I want to tell you, beloved, God is good. And we all need to have the same mindset that our Savior had when he was here on this earth suffering. Paul, Peter would say, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. And I want to tell you something that will help all of us to bear our own suffering, whatever it might be, physical, financial, rejection, or whatever. I'll tell you, it'll help us to keep our mind on Jesus and look at him on that cross. Paul said to the Hebrews, and he was writing to the Hebrews, he said, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your mind on Jesus, and that'll be a big help to you and to me in this life. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He didn't enjoy it, he endured it. And I want to tell you, beloved, Paul is saying to these Hebrew Christians, y'all need to keep your eyes on Jesus, and it'll help you to run with patience the race that is set before you. That's why we need to be in church. That's why you and I need to be in church. Hopefully, because Jesus is going to be preached. That's why we sing these hymns, because it's all about Jesus. Are y'all with me tonight? Okay. Now, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. And that word arm, I think, is a military term. We're to be militant toward the world and the flesh and the devil. We're to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. Have a militant attitude towards Satan and the world and our own fleshly nature. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Let me tell you, beloved, if a child of God loves Jesus enough to suffer persecution for Jesus' sake, he's probably going to cease from a lot of sinning. Isn't that true? It would help to curb that natural appetite we have to sin. Now, I don't want to go through everything that I went through this morning, but I want to drop down now. And I want to notice with you beginning in, let's begin in verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Yes, sir, we're going to see him when he comes back, and we're going to rejoice with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evil body, or an evildoer, or as a busy body in other men's matters. Amen. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them which obey not the gospel? Now, the Apostle Peter is telling us that judgment will begin in God's house, in the church. And if it began at us, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of God? I want to obey the gospel. What about y'all? I want to be obedient to the God of heaven that loved me and gave his son to die for me on the cross. I want to be obedient. I don't want to live my life in the service of the flesh and the world and the devil. Now, he says, what will the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, he's not talking here about eternal punishment, I don't think. I think he's talking about temporal judgment. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I want to think about that just a moment. And if the righteous scarcely be saved. Now, that salvation there cannot be eternal salvation because it's scarce. If they scarcely be saved. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus didn't scarcely save the elect family of God. He could have saved the whole world if he had wanted to. The blood of Jesus was sufficient to pay the sin debt. Jesus Christ didn't just come up at the end reaching into his pocket and getting the last few pennies he had. No, he more than enough paid for our sin debt. But here is a salvation that is scarce. And I believe he's talking about the elect of God, the righteous people of God who have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, that are living in disobedience to God. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I don't want to be in that category. But I can tell you a lot of God's children are. Now watch verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I want to spend some time on that verse. The Apostle Peter is saying, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. And in the first century, multitudes were suffering greatly because of their Christian faith. They were suffering according to the will of God. But what were they to do? They were to commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Beloved, when you and I are facing life's challenges, life's troubles, life's problems, we're to commit the keeping of our souls to Him as a faithful Creator. We're not to worry and fret. We are to commit the keeping of our souls to Him as a faithful Creator. Did you know God is a faithful Creator? He not only created the heaven and the earth, He is faithful to uphold it in this moment. He is continuing to uphold us and uphold the creation. You remember after the flood in Noah's day, God put a bow in the sky, a rainbow. And that rainbow was to remind Noah, and it reminds us today that our God is a faithful God, and He will never flood the earth again as He did in Noah's. He's a faithful Creator. He's upholding the world by the word of His power. Who do y'all think is helping God maintain the creation? You think the government is? The government's about bankrupt. You think the army could help God maintain the creation? Who keeps all the planets in their orbits around the sun? I want to tell you, God is. He's taking care of the creation. How many of y'all believe? How many of y'all are worried about it? No, so how many of y'all wake up in the morning afraid the sun won't come up on time? You know it's going to come up on time because there's a faithful Creator that is maintaining it. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends summer, winter, spring, and fall. He is a faithful Creator. And you and I are to commit the keeping of our souls to Him as a faithful Creator. Not commit the keeping of your soul to a doctor or a nurse or the government or your spouse or your parents or your family. Commit the keeping of your soul to Him as a faithful Creator. And I want to tell you, beloved, He is a faithful God. He watches over us by day and by night. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. He's got all power in heaven and in earth. And we can just rejoice to know that He's watching over us. And as the Apostle Peter was writing this, the first century Christians who were facing fiery trials, listen, beloved, what the Romans did to the Christians were horrible. And what the Pharisees were doing to the Christians were horrible. See, the Apostle Peter is writing this letter to strangers. He identifies them to strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They're spread, they're scattered. They've been scattered by persecution. Now, a lot of y'all have been blessed to live in the same house. How long? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? Franklin lived down here 86 years. I've often said that Elon Musk couldn't have bought Franklin's place. He loved it. But what if all of a sudden great persecution started right here in middle Georgia for Christian people like you all, and y'all had to scatter, and you had to go north or south or east or west, had to go to Mexico or Puerto Rico, or had to go to South America, God forbid. What would that be like? You and I can't even comprehend that, can we? But if we had to face that, I want you all to know there's a God in heaven that could sustain us and comfort us. Peter talks about the manifold grace of God. And then he talks about the God of all grace. All the grace you and I will ever need, God will supply it for us. He supplied us with singing grace tonight. Did y'all enjoy singing the praises of God? Or did y'all just sit there like a mummy?
I want to tell you, God gives us grace to sing from our hearts. I love to sing by the grace of God, don't you all? He gives us grace to pray. He gives us grace to preach. He gives us grace to love one another. How many of y'all need grace to love one another? You can love the unlovable if God gives you enough grace. And I want to tell you, He's the God of all grace. He's helped me to love people that I'll tell you, I struggled with. But grace helps us love people. Grace helps us to forgive people. How many of y'all tonight are real good at forgiving people? I want to tell you, you get enough grace in you, you can just forgive them. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. He's the God of all grace. Listen to what he says here in the closing verse of chapter 5. He would say, but the God of all grace. No matter what kind of grace you need, whether you're in the hospital, whether you're grieving, let me tell you, God's grace will be needed by this family who lost this 38-year-old son. They'll need a lot of grace. And Aaron, my son's wife, Callie, flew up to Iowa Friday after she got off work to attend the funeral of a 38-year-old man who was killed. He was digging. He was going to be putting in some posts, and he had contacted the electric company, and they told him that everything was safe, and he hit one of those power wires and killed him instantly. 38 years old. Now, she attended that funeral yesterday. We'll be attending a funeral tomorrow for a 38-year-old. Life on this earth is very brief. It's uncertain. But Peter said, the rest of your time, whatever it is, whether it's one day or many, many years, spend it to the glory of God. But I want to tell you, that family will need a lot of grace. And we ought to be praying that God would give them grace as they grieve. I know the Davison family has found grace sufficient in their time of need. Oh, my friends, Paul the apostle struggled. And let me tell you, I don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, but I can tell you what I believe it was. I believe it was the memory of his past life, the sins that he had committed. What if tonight you had in your mind the memory of you putting some man to death for Jesus' sake, and you had to live with that? And that wasn't the only thing Paul did. In the Acts of the Apostles, we are told that he went about breathing out threatenings and slaughter against men, women, and children. What if you had to live with that kind of memory? I've got enough bad memories myself of things I've done that I'm sorry about. But what if you had that to live with? And the Bible tells us it was a messenger of Satan to torment him, to buffet him. You know, to be buffeted would be like being in a boat on the ocean and the waves of the sea just keep buffeting you and buffeting you. And I'm sure Satan was trying to bring into Paul's mind all the sins that he had committed. And let me tell you, beloved, when Paul said this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, he meant it. He felt to be the chief of sinners. I've heard brethren kind of minimize that and say, well, Paul didn't know about me. Well, let me tell you, he knew about him. He knew how horrible his life had been. But let me tell you how amazing grace is. Grace can take a man like Saul of Tarsus, wicked, breathing out threatenings and slaughter, hunting down Christians and putting them in chains and bringing them back to Jerusalem to be tried and persecuted and maybe executed. God can take a man like that and turn him in to the greatest preacher the church has ever had, except for Jesus himself. The one who did everything he could to destroy the church is now doing everything he can to build up the church. Y'all believe in God's grace? I've seen it. I've seen grace change people. I'm telling you, I've seen grace change somebody whose mouth was filthy. Almost every word was a profanity coming out of their mouth, and all of a sudden they're changed by grace. And God's grace is going to be sufficient for you. It's going to be sufficient for me, no matter what we face in life. And God is not going to let us all be spoiled. He suffers a lot of heartaches to come our way. But I want to tell you, Paul would say, or Peter would say, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. Beloved, do you know you and I are on our way to eternal glory? Not eternal suffering. We're on our way to eternal glory. These mortal bodies of ours will someday be changed and fashioned like unto his own glorious body. So we're on our way to eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all for your attention.